Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening. I know there's not many of us, but Sister Carl's in Australia, and Brother Ains broke a bone in his arm. I'm not sure exactly, something to do when he's at work carrying flags or curbs, and he broke a bone in his arm just above the thumb, and he's not allowed to drive. He's in a cast and everything, so he's not here tonight. And then Samuel's big van dropped something out of the turbo down into the engine and wrecked everything. So she's on the bench at the minute. And it's one thing after another. And then we've been praying for Brother Edwards' sister-in-law, Sheila. I know Brother John knows Sheila from years ago. She married Edwards' brother, and she had a kidney removed with cancer in the kidney, but they believe that it hasn't been anywhere else. So we want to continue to pray for Sheila. And then also pray for Keith Moxham. His wife was buried today. And then Geordie's daughter Sonia's been diagnosed with something in her discs, and something to do with her legs, and it's incurable, some disease in her back and down her legs. And they've told her she's going to have to quit her work and everything, whatever this condition is, and she's asking for prayer. And then her brother Geordie will be going away on holidays for a few weeks, so there's some on holidays as well. And just pray for these different needs, and that God will have his way. And I was all prepared, I was going to preach tonight, but shortly before I come out, I just felt not to preach it, but I want to preach on prayer tonight. Just mention some scriptures. I know you've heard them preaching before, but God's word's never old. That's one thing about the word of God, it's never old. Amen. So remember all these different ones in prayer, that the Lord will really touch them and move on them. And that God will have his way. Praise God. Let's read God's phone number. 5015. Praise God. And I remember years and years ago, it was Reinhard Bunke I heard preaching. And that's where I got the title for this message, God's phone number. And he told a story about a wee boy coming into the Sunday school class and saying his teacher dialed the number. What happened? Nothing. It was engaged. And then Bunky was saying it's never engaged. And then I remember back around that time, that's a good while ago, there was a dear woman. She, one of her wee Sunday school children, just a wee young children, maybe six or something, I can't remember the woman's name, but she was in a wheelchair and they prayed for her. Then she was in one of Bunky's meetings and God completely healed her. And she made a video of it out doing the garden, and I don't know if anybody ever remembers that or saw that video. She was out working in the garden, she couldn't do anything, her back was totally destroyed. God completely healed her back. And she was out doing the garden and everything. And that woman, God really used that woman's testimony, and she went all over the world. She testified at a lot of Bunky's crusades and all years ago. And God used her testimony powerfully, used that woman. And she believes it was from the prayer of one of them wee children in the Sunday school that prayed. Because God's number, and it's never engaged, praise God. Let's read then Psalms 50 verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Amen. Amen. Let's come and bow tonight. And if you have a need as well, just lift your hand up to the Lord, and God bless you. God bless you. God bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your number. Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I shall deliver thee. Lord, we believe this tonight. And we believe that we have access to your throne through the blood of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have open access. And we thank you that we can come from your footstool right into your throne room and right into your presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we come tonight and we pray, wash us afresh. Yes, Lord. in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be like Hyssop. Sanctify us this evening, and fill every one of us afresh with the Holy Ghost on fire, in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke the enemy over the service and over every life and name that will be prayed for tonight. The name of Jesus Christ. We come against the strong man and we spoil his goods in Jesus Christ's name. And we plead your blood over every situation. We pray for our sister Sheila for an absolute total recovery and strength to come upon her and the peace and joy of God that all be well. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for Brother Keith Malkison, for your comfort, for your strength, for your assurance, Lord, that he know that even though Sister Candace is absent from the body, she is present with the Lord. Strengthen him and bless him, and may something special happen through all that's taken place in Jesus' precious name. We pray, Lord, for Brother Ian's arm, that you'll touch it, and the bones will mend and heal. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for Samuel and help him as well in this situation. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for Sonia Jordy's daughter that you'll touch her back, her discs and down her legs, whatever the problem is. The doctor said nothing can be done, but Lord, we know that you specialize in that which is impossible. It's possible with you if we only believe. Lord, and we're believing and asking tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord Jesus, for every head bowed, you bless each one and every hand raised. Meet that need in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless our sister Eileen on her holidays, our sister Carol and the family on the holidays, and any others. Bless them, strengthen them. Be with them and have your way in these meetings as we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our paths. I do take the Holy Ghost to help the Lord. And I thank you that you do. I need your help. And I thank you it is available 24/7. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So you pray as well of you, those that feel led. And God answers prayer. Praise God. And you know, I heard this. I told you when Reinhard Bonnke preaching years ago. And then the Lord gave me some special things happened for me for this verse years and years ago. And I told you, I remember coming home one night, and it's 23 years ago, because my Daniel's 23. So it's 23, it's over 23 years ago, because Sharon was expecting my Daniel, and I come home and she's in tears, and she had been told she had lost the baby. She had been to the doctors, and they checked her out and everything, and said, you've lost the baby, and that all the conditions and everything, that he was, whatever takes place. And this scripture came to me really strong. And we knelt down in the kitchen in Brook Grove in Banbridge and we prayed. And I reminded God of his word. Because the Holy Spirit reminded me of it. And when you read the Bible, you'll see that Jeremiah and many of the men of God through the Bible refer to God back his own word. Now, if God has told you something, whether it's your own testimony, or years ago God could have said he's going to do something for you, did you know you have a right to remind God of it? Because God said it. You never said it. If God really said it, and you see, you never said this word. You or me never said, call upon me. God said it. God's the one that said it. It's his word. Now, he's under the obligation to honor his own word. It's not me and you that bring it to pass. It is God that brings his word to pass. And we prayed and we believed and a great peace came over us. And we went straight to the hospital. And they done one of them things, you know, in the stomach. They can look inside and everything and all was well. And Daniel's 23 today. God can do anything. Anything. God is able to do it. And I know somebody said, well, probably nothing had happened anyhow. Well, something happened because all the evidence was there and medically they said something had happened. But God done something. But there's a woman, I told you, that couldn't walk. She's in a wheelchair and a wee fella at six prays for her. God healed her. And she was able to garden and do all them things that she couldn't do before. I was showing a fella today, the fella of, you know the fella's name? I'm sure some of you has noticed, bitten five times with five of them box jellyfish. Mm-hmm. Ian McCormick, was it?
His name was definitely McCormick, but I don't.
I think it's Ian McCormick, and he testified in England, John, didn't he? Over in one of them meetings. But I shown a fella today, and he's bitten by the box jellyfish, and he was dead on the table with a label on his toe, and God brought him back. That's what God's able to do. There was an African preacher coming down a hill in a Mercedes car, and the brakes failed in her, and he smashed into the wall, and he died in the ambulance. And he went out of his body and everything, he tells it later, and his wife took the scripture from Hebrews, for they had the dead raised because of faith. Now when you read Hebrews, you will read Enoch through faith never died. Through faith. It's all about faith. And then you also read, without faith it's impossible to please God. We need faith. And God has given us all a measure of faith once we're saved. And that man's wife wouldn't give up on him, and they embalmed him. I want you to hear this for America. They embalmed him. And they put him out and everything. And she went to his father and more or less begged. And the father had a whole big thing with her because she said he's embalmed and everything. And you want him to take him to a meeting. And she said, I want him to take him to one of Reinhard Bonnke's meetings. God is telling me inside. Inside of me, I'm believing something's going to happen. And the death certificate and all was signed, and he was actually embalmed. And they got him in the coffin and got him in the car and got him to the meeting, and they wouldn't let them into the main auditorium, and they made them open the coffin in case there's bombs or something in it. And you know what Bunky's Crusades was like? To say there was thousands would be an understatement. There was multitudes went to them. And they got him in under the basement of the meeting, and Bunky himself wasn't even praying for him. There was other people, and he started praying for him, and he sat up. Amen. And you know what he asked for when he sat up? His faith. He asked for a file. And they couldn't understand why he wanted a file. And he gradually couldn't move at the start, but he started gradually moving until he could all move. And when he went over the other side, he went to heaven, and an angel escorted him round, and he wrote down all the different things on a file. And when he came round, he asked for it. I know people in the denominations wouldn't believe one word of what I'm telling you here tonight. That's a fact. I know that. They wouldn't believe one word of it. So are the believers or are the unbelievers? Is it a believer or an unbeliever? Because a believer believes God can do anything. An unbeliever, he there serve the God that I was. Not the I am, but I was. A limited God. They have a limited atonement. A limited outpouring, because it only happened at Pentecost and can't happen again. And then there's some round the message as well. They have a limited blood. They don't need it no more. They have moved on. Word tell I don't know. But all them things that take away from the Lord, they're false. He's never changed. He's Hebrews 13 and 8. Call upon me in the time of trouble. And God says, I'll answer you. God delights to answer prayer. Call upon me, I'll deliver you. Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. There's the eagle again. Hallelujah. And run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There's people fainting today, but God doesn't want you to faint. Now here's one. Do you ever think of this? You know when the multitudes followed Jesus and Jesus said to the disciples, feed them. Do you know that he said, feed them? And they said, Lord, what with? What are we going to feed them with? More or less, we never got to the shop for no victuals. What are we feed them with? All we have here is a boy's lunch. Amen? Now you know what also it says. The Bible says that people were weary. They were weary with the journey. They followed them all day. They were weary. And the Lord took a boy's lunch and fed them. And you know the story how many baskets they took up with the remains. That's God. That's what God's able to do. From a boy's lunch, feed a multitude. And take up 12
the Jews and seven in another, which represents the Gentiles. And the 12 baskets were smaller baskets, and the 7 big baskets were big. They were one of them baskets, and they let a man down through the roof in a basket. So it could hold a man. So it was a big basket. That's the God we serve. You say, how do you know? One place it says sat in grass, and another place it says on dry ground. It's two different occasions. One place was at 5, another place 7. 2 loaves and 5 fish. Can you imagine that, what God was able to do? Isn't that wonderful? That's the God we are serving. You see, I believe Christians have long forgot how supernatural God is. We need reminded. We need to pray that God breaks in on us. You say the Lord's amongst us. I know, but we need more of Him. We need a manifestation of His power coming in on us, coming on the people. And people talk about not needing gifts. I'm the opposite. I believe we need them more than ever before. We need a preacher more than ever. I tell you, we need it. Let me read you this, and I know I've maybe read this before, that this is William Seymour. And if you don't know who William Seymour is, he was a blind, colored man that God mightily used in the Sousa Street Revival. And God used that man. He had a special gift. If there was a demon, God gave him a special way to work it and discern it in the meeting. And here's what he said. I got to Los Angeles, and there the hunger, and he's talking about the hunger for God, to have more God, was not less, but more. I prayed, God, what can I do? And the Spirit said, pray more. But Lord, I am praying 5 hours a day now. Now, I hear people saying, they take one quotation, and you've probably heard this quotation, and people have been quoting this for 30 years. I've heard it for 30 years, the same quotation. We can't pray like we used to, because the revival's over. Now, a lot of people use that, because they tell themselves they can't pray, the revival's over. Well, the Lord commands us to pray. How many believe that? God commands us to pray. I believe we need to make ourselves pray, even if we don't feel like praying. Now, I do believe when a revival comes, God can lead you into intercessory prayer that you couldn't do yourself. I know that. But outside of that, we need to pray. We need to have time where we seek God and pray. 5 hours a day this man was praying, and God said, pray more. Now I hear a lot of people, and all they preach is how the church is dead. That's their sermon. I can tell you everything they're going to preach. They'll preach how the church is dead. But you see people that preach like that, ask them how long do they pray for? Themselves, how long do they pray for? How many hours do they spend in prayer? And I believe that's the answer. If God's people will humble themselves and fast and pray, they'll hear from heaven. We need to pray. Now, I'm not saying we're going to pray 5 hours a day. I don't think we'd be fit to do it. But we can still pray whatever God leads us to pray. And I'll tell you one thing. If God led this man to pray 5 hours, God could lead another man to do it. Because he's the same. Amen. Will you hear this? I increased my hours of prayer to 7. From 5 to 7. And prayed on. Now, a lot of people haven't even time to come to the prayer meeting. And our whole prayer meeting's from 7:30 to 9 o'clock. An hour and a half, the whole thing roughly. And we're out, preaching and all. And this man prayed 7 hours a day. And everybody reads about the Sousa Street Revival. And everybody reads about these moves of God. But nobody's willing to pay the price for prayer. Nobody's willing to pay it. But I'll tell you, if we'll pray, God will move. God will move if we pray. And you want the power of God, prayer. There's no other substitute for it. It's not education. It's prayer. It's seeking God. I pray God to give me what Parham preached. And Parham was another man mightily filled with the Holy Ghost back then. Parham was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. The real Holy Ghost on fire with tongues. And love and power of God like the apostles had. truth tonight. What's been substituted around the end time churches is, now this is the truth, if you believe it, you've got it, and that's all there is to it. And there's no action. It's words, but there's no action. Now you do have to say you have it. We know that. You confess it and believe it, but God wants people to pray to get it. Amen. Pray till you can handle it. Isn't that right? Pray till you get it. Pray till God answers. Pray till you feel in your spirit, in your heart, God's done something. Keep praying. Now, if your son's not saved or my son's not saved, and you do one wee prayer, do you stop praying for them? You don't. How many will agree with me and keep on praying? I'll keep praying for mine anyhow. Right, amen. Amen and yours. Isn't that the truth? Keep on praying. And the worse they get, pray the more. That's only letting you know the devil's working. He's getting it tight. Now here's Acts 6 verse 1 to 8. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So that how did they pick them? They had to have the Holy Ghost to get picked here. They didn't pick them on their education. They didn't pick them on Shakespeare. What good would Shakespeare do learning Shakespeare? I could never figure that out. Why would you learn Shakespeare? What good would it know at all what Shakespeare says? Was Shakespeare even saved? Was the man even regenerated? And people want to learn Shakespeare. I wouldn't even waste my time reading Shakespeare, to be honest with you. You think of the much of your Bible you could read in the time you could read Shakespeare. I'd read the Bible instead of reading Shakespeare. But these men were picked out because they had the Holy Ghost. That's how they picked them. If they didn't have the Holy Ghost, they weren't on the list. Isn't that the truth? My, we need the Holy Ghost. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word and saying, the saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Ghost, and Philip. Now, Brother Larry preached with Philip, wasn't it? Brother Larry preached with Philip a few weeks ago. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and Philip preached Shakespeare. No. He didn't preach the Baptist either. He didn't preach the Message either. And he didn't preach the Presbyterian or the Methodist. He preached Christ. That's what he preached, Christ. And the Bible says, unclean spirits cried out and come out. And they were glad to get out. Because the power of God was there. And there's people saved. Is that right? So I'll tell you, when these men were picked that had the Holy Ghost, something happened with them. There was someone worked on them. Someone happened with them. Amen. And you know Stephen, they stoned him to death. And he steadfastly looked up and he saw the Lord. Is that right? Amen. A man full of the Holy Ghost and faith. That's what it says. So Philip and Procreus and Nicanor and Timon and Pharmaeus and Nicholas. A proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. There's some churches today, if you laid your hands on somebody, they'd throw you out. They don't believe in it. Don't believe in anything like that. But that's what the early church done. They had a habit of putting hands on people. Think of that now. You tell somebody today, come to church and we'll get the elders to pray for you, they wouldn't come. There's very few would come. But I'll tell you, the Bible says, call the elders of the church and anoint with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Mark 16 is a commission. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Whom they set before the apostles and they prayed for them, laid hands on them. And the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. I'll tell you someone, this is a real experience in the book of Acts. And we Seymour knew it. When he read the Bible, he knew it. When he heard it, he knew it. And he wanted it. He wanted it. And he was that desperate, wanting, when he heard Parham preach it, he wanted what Parham preached, and he knew, praying 5 hours a day, God said pray more, and he prayed 7 hours a day. And I tell you something, people talk about, I hear people talking about, like the Azusa Street didn't last long. And I hear them talking all they got. I'll tell you one thing, you read along the revival lasted for in Wales, it wasn't long, but would you not give it like an or one like it? Should it be a month? May God send it. This business is not lasting long. And then, you see, some boy with more knows more than God, I'll tell you all why it didn't last. And they shouldn't have done this and that, and he's it all figured out. And you see, and it's the same. Men figure out men of God, and they couldn't even lace their shoes, and they're going to figure them all out. And tell you, should have done this and done that. They've done what God called them to do. Look at Billy Graham. Now, Billy Graham wasn't a man that moved in the miraculous, like Oral Roberts and all. But we'd all agree tonight, Billy Graham was a man that won souls. That's what he was called to do. And he done it. And I don't go with all he said and believed. I don't. But I still believe God used him. I believe that. And them other men, God used them as well. Because there's a fivefold ministry. That's the thing about it. Amen. But we need to be praying. This is a place where strength can always be renewed. The place is the presence of the Lord. That's where strength can be renewed. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's a secret. There's a hiding place for God. How many's ever read about Corrie Ten Boom? A wonderful testimony. And a hiding place. And there is a hiding place for the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's no substitute for the presence of the Lord. Isn't that right? You know, meeting, I could come here and have nice sweet sayings and everything. And come on, that's good. But we need the Holy Ghost to move. We need the presence of the Lord to come, the anointing to come, the power of God to come. And God's people need to come into the meeting ready for action. Amen. I know a man went to do a convention once, and the pastor said, will you call a prayer line at the end of it? And he said, I will not. And he said to this man, why not? He says, I'm not ready for it. Says, the half of them backslid. Says, I need to take about 3 nights preaching at them before I call any prayer lines. And that's exactly what he done. He called no prayer line for about 3 nights. And he got them warmed up first, for they were coiled. Now, I'm not saying that we are coiled or anything, but I'm just using an example. This is what this man did. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'll say this here. You could have a meeting, one service, and they could all be backslid, and God could move still in that meeting. How many believes that? And God could do more in 2 minutes than a man could do in a week. God could do more in 2 minutes than a man could do in a week of meetings. It has to be God. And we need God. And he's encouraging us tonight, call on me! And I'll answer you. He wants you to call. And you don't have to have a short prayer. You know, you don't see Jesus praying for hours and hours. There's nowhere in this Bible. You see, now I know in Gethsemane, you could say he prayed a long time, but none of us has been through Gethsemane at the minute that I know of. But I remember funny about it, but mostly in his normal, he didn't pray long, and the prayer even taught them to pray. See, a lot of people tell you, oh, we don't need a prayer like that. That prayer's not enough. Well, it is if Jesus taught it. It is enough. You could pray the Lord's Prayer and God could do something, couldn't it? Because it's the truth. God wants us to pray. What I'm just saying is, don't feel that you haven't prayed long enough or anything like that. It's, even if it's just a wee short prayer, God will hear. Amen. 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 You know, when Brother Dixon prayed for Bishop down in that hospital in Dublin, and I was with him, he didn't go over no big long sermon of a prayer. He just simply prayed a few words in the name of Jesus Christ, and that was it, the end of it. And that man was raised out of there. God brought him out of it. That's what God's able to do. It's like the fella, just like, you know,
The fellow wanted to play the organ. And his father asked Jacko to pray for him. And Jacko prayed really short for him. Lord, let him play the organ. That was about it. And that boy, he was offended. Buford Dial, I think his name was. He tells a testimony about meeting Brother Branham and everything, and but what William Branham said to him. But God let him play that organ. And he played it that well. Everybody wanted him to play it for them. He played it that well. But it's just a short prayer. What about Shambuck? The boy came to Shambuck and he said to Shambuck, I need a real good job. And Shambuck said, Lord, give him a good job shining shoes. And he says, no, stop, stop. And he says, what are you stopping before? And he says, brother, you need to tell God what you want. Tell him exactly what sort of a job you want. And he says, oh, but Brother Shambuck, you don't understand. I've applied for a top job. My filing all's in. That's the job I want, Shambuck said. All right. He prayed again. And he said, Lord, take his file at the bottom of the pile and put it on the top and get him the job. And he came back a month later with a check, like $400, not the fact, a long time ago. And Shambuck says, can you get me a job down there? He got the job. God answered the prayer. God can do it. How many heard the testimony of a wee missionary needed a pair of shoelaces and God got to them? God's able to do it. Now, you know, when I went to John Noble's, and I know I've told it, but it's true. I was reading about that wee man. He was a Methodist man. Billy Bray. That was him. If you ever never read about Billy Bray, you should get his book and read it. They tell him that he's too loud and they're going to put him in a parlour. And he said, if you put me in a barrel, I'll shout glory through the cork hole. They couldn't get him quietened down. He kept shouting glory. Our friend gave me the first book on Billy Bray. I tell you, Billy Bray was used to God. But Billy Bray said to the Lord, if the knees goes out of these trousers, I'll quit. But if you want me to go, you'll keep me. And I remember praying in the airport, Lord, do you see these shoes? There's holes in them. And there was. I was sitting in the airport, had holy socks on, holy shoes. It was very holy. And I said, Lord, I need a pair of shoes, and if you don't mind, the socks as well. And when I got to England, the pastor, John Noble, lifted me, and he says, brother, we're going to the shop. And we went to the shop, and they got a few groceries, and he says, now we're going to a shoe shop. And we went in a shoe shop, and he says, the Lord told me this morning when I was praying to get you a pair of shoes. Whatever shoes you want, get them. And I got a pair of black shoes. Might have been Brogues, I can't remember, but might have been Brogues. Brogues used to be the big thing, didn't it? But I come home and then John Maddox come over to see me at John Noble's. And he said, Thomas, not much, but I just felt to give you that. And he gave me a wee small parcel and I opened it, three pairs of shocks, and I went, glory! Hallelujah! And John Maddox thought to himself, but he's excited over three pairs of socks. But he didn't know what was praying. And I needed the three pairs of socks. God, give me them. I'll tell you, sometimes God, you think it's not going to happen, and God does it. The Bible says when you have did the will of God, you need to learn patience. Amen? And God will bring it to pass. Amen? You know, a lot of Christians today spend very little time in prayer. You know, after the COVID, the big, what do they call it? The pandemic. The scandal should be the right name for it, not a pandemic. If there is a pandemic in this country, it's cancer. It's a pandemic. There's more people dying with cancer than anything. Is that right? But I'll tell you, after COVID, and you know I'm telling you the truth, after COVID, and you talk to any pastors right round, and you see people, a lot of people never ever come back to a prayer meeting. COVID cured them. Now, who sent it then? Because God didn't. And I hear people saying God sent COVID to bring judgment. That's nonsense. I don't believe that. And a Norman said God sent AIDS to bring judgments. Boris Smith sent a man in a laboratory made AIDS. God never sent it. And you know what a prophet of God said? He said that the devil gave man the knowledge to split the atom and make the atomic bomb. Not God. The devil did.
That's your tree of your knowledge of good and evil right there.
Yes.
And you have two spirits in the world today, two opposing spirits, one good and one evil. And you have the imputation of righteousness, but then you have strong delusion. And you have those that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're learning, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. But we want the truth, because it makes us free. Prayer. People's afraid to come to a hall and pray. There's no commitment. You think of the world's commitment, whether it's a club or a pub or any sport or anything. I can tell you, people, I know people are so committed they wouldn't miss a night. They're absolutely committed. They'd run you down to go to wherever they're going. But you mention church to them and see if they're committed. Then they want to know why nothing's happening. I'll tell you, things will happen when we pray. Amen. And even if it's only a few of us, God will answer you.
Amen.
Where two or three's gathered in his name, he's promised to be in the midst of that to bless us.
Amen.
And we're gathered in his name. We're under no organization or denomination. We're under him. That's what we're under. Jesus Christ. No book but the Bible, no creed but Christ. We're Christians, because we're believers. Christ in us, that's what makes us Christians. Everybody believes that?
Amen.
Amen. We have a big brother called Jesus. Do you believe that?
That's right.
And I'm telling you now, he's God manifested in flesh. I'm going to have to close and loads of other scriptures and everything, but I'm going to give us time to pray and just that wee short verse. And I'm telling you, I had a lot of stuff prepared. I was going to preach on the invisible enemy tonight. Maybe I'll preach it on Sunday. And that's the enemy. And the king of Tyre, the devil. And I tell you, when you study that in Ezekiel, you read Ezekiel, and you will see who's controlling the politicians today. There's a power behind it. And COVID didn't happen just out of the blue. There's something behind it all. There's something behind it. And that's the devil. That's who's behind it. And when you're persecuted, it's the devil. And sickness, that's the devil. It all started because of sin, the devil. But there's a cure. And Christ is that cure. And he says, call upon me. A time of trouble, I'll answer you. You know, Jeremiah says, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't even know about. Let's come and pray and seek the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you that you are still on the throne. You said you will remember your own. Your promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. We bless you this evening in Malachi 3 and 6. You said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the unchanging God. And there's attributes in you from the beginning for healing, for salvation, for every single thing we need. There was attributes in you from the very beginning. Lord, all things are made by you and for you. And without you was not anything made that's made. You are the beginning of the creation of God. And we thank you this evening that every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. From the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. You are the same. You remain the same. You are the I am. We bless you this evening. Lord, we've read these scriptures. We've tried to share some thoughts. We pray anything that's of ourselves, let it fall. But that which is from you, may it find good ground. And may the root go downward and bear fruit upward. Strengthen every brother in this room. Bless every brother, every sister, every husband, every wife, every son and every daughter, every relation that's represented in this room right now. We ask you'll save and deliver every single one of them. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ on our children, on our sons, on our daughters, on our brothers, on our sisters, on all that's near and dear to us. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon them. This is your word. Your word, your law can't be changed, God. And your promise cannot be broken. It's the same. Lord, you said you could swear by no greater. here, so you swear by yourself that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we may have strong consolation to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, steadfast and sure, which hath entered into that within the veil. Lord, you've went beyond for us, and the veil's been rent from the top to the bottom. And the way is made into the holiest of holies, the new and living way through the rent veil. And we have access tonight by your name. Your name is a name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we speak that name over everyone that's been prayed for tonight. Healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Oh God, bring every one of us into the place that you want us to be. Make us the men and the women of God you want us to be. Oh God, help us to hunger and thirst after you. Rid us of our own ways, our own ideas, of the hay, the wood, the stubble. Give us the finest of the wheat, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless the meetings. Have your way in the meetings. Move by the Holy Spirit. Loose the gifts of God in this room and upon your people. Gifts of tongues and healing and working of miracles and discernment and all the nine gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. May they manifest in our midst by the power of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray again this evening for the hands of us raised at the start of the service. You know every need, every situation, every circumstance, every condition. We lift it all before your throne of grace, where we may find help in the time of trouble. We call on you, Lord, because your words told us to. And we're calling you on the scene, that you'll meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we want to thank you for answered prayer this past week. We bless you for meeting needs. We bless you for what you've done, Lord. We bless your name. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord, that your truth goes forth. And Lord, nothing can hinder it. You said, I will work, and who will let it? We bless you tonight, Lord, that you're sovereign. You're absolutely in control. And when we acknowledge you and commit our lives to you, you will promise to direct our paths. We acknowledge you tonight. We asked you to direct us, to lead us, to guide us with the Holy Ghost. We cannot lead ourselves. We want to guide the Holy Spirit to lead us in our daily life, in these meetings, in our home, at our work. Oh God, as we go out, as we come in, may we know your presence. May we know your blessing. May we know your strength. Help us to reach fellow men, fellow women. Lord, and we do pray for men over this country tonight that's preaching the truth of the gospel. Bless them, and may souls be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we commit it all to you. Help us to seek you tonight, because we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.